This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Good morning, and I'm Red Palmer, and it is a new day. Mike Novotny, Pastor Mike Novotny, is on the line. Good morning, Pastor. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Red. Thanks for having me today.
Millard Fuller, who was the founder of Habitat for Humanity at the age of 29, an attorney. He was already so successful that they had boats, they had cars, they had summer vacation houses, blah, blah, blah. And Linda said, I don't think I know you anymore. And I don't even know if I love you. The boys don't know if they know you. She left him. Divorce. They finally met months later in New York City. He gets into a cab, falls on his knees, and says, I'm going to give away everything. And he claimed that light filled the taxi cab. She says, I just knew I was getting my husband back. And they sold everything. The last time I'd seen Linda, she said, I have 8 dresses. It keeps my life simple in Americus, Georgia. And so they gave away everything. And yet, I bet you in eternity, one of those lights up in the sky that Daniel spoke about, that those who bring many to self. Imagine how many lives Millard Fuller changed by Habitat. But if he hadn't given up everything, we wouldn't have Habitat for Humanity, which is a wonderful organization.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of good soil versus the previous version of cluttered soil. Yeah, that's well said. So we got pride, pain, worries, wealth. Threat number 5 is wanting. Jesus's phrase is the desire for other things chokes out the seed so it doesn't mature and become fruitful. I actually love that phrase. He doesn't say the desire for bad things or the desire for sinful things. He said, sometimes you just end up busy and overcommitted and unfruitful because of all these other things. So in the book, it's probably the most necessary part of the book and the most agonizing part of the book, because I explore 4 modern things, other things that keep us busy. I talk about the news. I talk about sports. I talk about shows. And I talk about apps.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't remember what life was like before I had this little thing here, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And once again, Jesus isn't saying that's wrong. He's just saying, have you ever looked at like how much time you're actually on that thing? And you think, whoa, I didn't think I was spending 90 minutes a day just dinking around.
90 minutes. 90 minutes. Mine's like 7 hours a day. It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah. And that can happen. So true. It can happen with sports. You say, well, I just like the Marlins, or I'm just into the Green Bay Packers. And then you add up all the hours per year of the games and the pregame and the podcast. And suddenly like, whoa, I'm spending a huge amount of time on this, and I'm just squeezing God and his word into these little cracks that I have. So it's not bad. I'm not being legalistic, and Jesus isn't either. But he's saying, just be aware. If you feel busy, overcommitted, there's no time to put God's word into practice, it could be these other things that are choking out the word.
Yeah. So I presume you go into more depth in your book about situations like this and maybe throwing a rope to the drowning.
Yes, I do. So it really starts with being honest. So I don't think a lot of us are aware. So I ask people concretely to write down how much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend watching sports? Like, no judgment. Let's just figure out what that is. And then maybe there's going to be some lights that go on from God. Like, oh, okay. Okay. So I don't have a lot of deep friendships, or I'm not really close to my parents, but maybe that's because I'm spending 60 hours a week at work and 8 hours a week, you know, watching sports. Of course, I can't add extra hours to the week. So what gets squeezed out are these more important things in life. So it starts with the bad news of like, let's figure out what the sickness is. And then we kind of get to the cure of, you know, essentially, let's be honest about how seeds grow, how you grow. Let's not assume we can do all the things well and nothing's going to suffer. So I think that's a tough truth that, especially in American culture, I don't know what it is about us, but we just one more thing. We can always squeeze it in. We'll always find time. We'll make time. But no. Gardens and hearts don't work quite like that.
What's big, start small. Okay. Now, where are we going to go next with this?
Yeah, let's wrap it up quick. So the last
threat's we're not in a rush. We got at least 7 minutes.
Okay.
Five.
Yeah, the last of the six threats. So we've covered pride, pain, worries, wealth, wanting, and then not waiting. So some people listening are doing a really great job of prioritizing God.
Hold on just a second. Noah, you said, how many minutes do we have left? Because I know we started five. After the hour. Pardon me?
Five.
Okay, five more minutes. Okay, go ahead, Pastor. Sorry.
Perfect. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, so waiting, in a sense, it's not like I put this in the ground today and tomorrow there's a beautiful red tomato. Obviously. You know, it takes not just a day and not just a week, but months for this to mature.
Got to fertilize, you got to water, you got to pull out the weeds, you got to fertilize, you got to water. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same with us. So maybe you go to church on Sunday and you think, well, that was pointless. Like, I didn't get anything out of that. Whoa. Maybe you got to wait. Like, maybe God was putting a seed in your heart. And a week from now or a month from now, you're going to be in a conversation or a situation. You're going to think, oh, remember that one church service?
Yeah.
So sometimes people bail on really good spiritual habits like prayer or Bible reading or worship or church or fellowship because they don't, it's not like fast food. It's not 5G instant speed. It's more like the farm where you need a whole season for things to grow. And it's less like going through the drive-thru.
You know, I interview a lot of people. And I got to tell you, you're one of the top pastors. There's a pastor that I interview out in Seattle about marriage and stuff. I should put the two of you together. I mean, I want to fly him in sometime and have a conference. And I'm thinking, you and I think so. Like, I was hoping the way you're speaking, if you don't mind me interjecting this, I wish somebody would write a book like yourself about prayer. I want to know what prayer is. Because you remember there were the conjoined twins a few years ago, about 13, 14 years ago? The whole world was praying for them. So the doctors went in the next day and they cut them so they wouldn't have to be, they died. And I said, Lord, I said, the whole world was praying collectively. Does this mean we can't manipulate you even if we're all in agreement? And I thought, well, so prayer is not to manipulate God. What is prayer? And it wouldn't have to be a big, thick book either. It could just get to the essential. And because I do think prayer changes things. But am I praying only when I'm on my knees and humbling myself? I call it satellite positioning. Or am I also praying when I'm in my car and I'm just blah, 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 blah. Hey, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. You know, is that prayer? I don't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
What is prayer?
That would be a good book. I'll have to put that on the list of books to write.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I know we have to. I know we have to land the plane really quickly. So I promised you before that I wouldn't just leave you with like hard, challenging news. I'd give you a little lifeline of hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So something really, I'm neck deep studying this parable of Jesus. It's super helpful. It's super challenging. You know, beware of pride and pain and worries and wealth and wanting and not waiting. And you know, I'm thinking like, oh man, help. And and what strikes me, I never caught this before. I'm reading about all these soils, and my assumption would be that this story should be called the parable of the soils. You know, are you like the hard path? Are you like the rocky soil? Are you the cluttered soil? Are you the good soil? That seems like if I was a pastor preaching a sermon, that would be the big idea with the four parts.
Not the parable of the seeds, but the parable of the soil.
Yeah. But actually, do you know what Jesus calls it? He himself names it. He says, no, let me tell you what this story is called. Let me tell you what this is all about. This is the parable of the sower.
Oh, so he didn't say seeds. Mm-hmm. It's the parable of the sower.
Yeah. And you think, wait, like the sower was there in the beginning, but then he took off. He was gone. Like he's not the main character
of
the story.
Hold on. Come on. This is going to give us hope. Go ahead.
It really is. You know, so the God who sowed the seed in our direction, the Father who wants us to hear this truth about the Savior, the Son. He didn't just throw the Bible in your direction and then step back and kick up his feet. He is like the gardener who is working in our hearts. He's the one who's humbling us and making us good soil. He sends the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and see, oh, Jesus is even, he's worth suffering for. He's the one that says, better than success at work, better than having stuff, you know, but better than the news and the sports and the shows is just knowing that there is a God in the universe who loves you and forgives you for everything and has hope and a future for you. So the fact that Jesus comes along and kind of saves us from being overwhelmed and says, hey, don't panic. This is hard work, just like a garden, but there is a God who is more than capable, and he's going to help you do the hard work every step of the way.
You know, and how big is your God? People think, well, I'm not important enough. But you know, what's amazing is I had one of these conceptual things last night. I mean, God is so, you know, it's written that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God can do anything he wants. I mean, did you ever have, I've had a situation where literally I felt like I went, and I went, wait a second. I wasn't even thinking about that. I caught you. One time I had tithe. This is about 30 years ago. I remember I had tithe. And all of a sudden I got this idea for a business idea the next day. And I wasn't even thinking. I was thinking, I caught you. And it actually ended up being very successful, you know? So,
yeah, that's awesome. So there it is. The parable of the sower. Great potential in the seed, lots of threats to it, but with God's help, man, great things can happen.
I don't know you that well, Mike, but it's a pastor, Mike. It's been great getting to know you. I hope you'll come back maybe with frequency. I hope you write more books, and you have an open door here. And so thank you so much again. The title, hold up the book one more time, if you would.
I will do that. It's called What's Big, Start Small. And you can find a copy on Amazon. It's probably the easiest place to go. What's Big, Start Small.
Big starts small.
Yeah, and thanks, Fred. Okay. It's been an honor.
God bless you, Mike.
You too. Have a great day.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m. We are a Reformed congregation, and so we believe that salvation is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not of works. We are currently studying the Gospel of Matthew expositionally, verse by verse, every week. All sinners are welcome. So come as you are, but leave as he is.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Bray from the Grace Place Church in Stuart. Easter's my favorite day of the year because the resurrection power of Jesus changes everything. Join us at the Grace Place for a powerful Good Friday service at 6:30 p.m. Our Easter sunrise service happens at 7 a.m. at a spectacular new location, Indian Riverside Park Amphitheater in Jensen Beach. And don't miss our Easter celebration service at 9 or 10:30 a.m. Check us out at thegraceplace.com.
Maker of the heavens, I am the bright and morning star. I am the breath of all creation, who always was and is to come. I am the one who walked on water. I am the one who calmed the sea.